This is episode 157 of Drunk on Comics, brought to you by InkWhiskey.com. Derek tells terrible stories and jokes. Again. And I didn't understand why it was funny, because I was like three or four.
It's kind of funny, but yeah. It's almost as funny as what we were just talking about earlier with Lindsay's region.
Oh, yeah. No, actually, what I think is hilarious is the fact that...
Like, so they called it region.
Yeah, my region. My body's set up in regions.
It's like Wakanda down there.
Oh, yeah, that's a southern climate, isn't it? It's warm and muggy. And yeah. No, somebody was like going, hey, it's cool that, you know, you got a girl on the show now because, you know, it'll give you a little bit broader appeal. And Lindsay's like, I'm abroad. I'm like, yeah, but you don't have any appeal. So,
because you're a dick.
I am. So.
That's why she keeps carrying around a banana. Get it? Appeal? Banana peel.
My mind went someplace else completely.
Yeah, mine did too, actually.
No, my mind went to the video of the guy that turned the brown banana back to yellow. Have you seen that?
No.
It's messed up. I've watched this thing far too many times, but basically he put a brown or black banana in a bag with rice, squeezed all the air out, let it sit for like an hour. Now, this is uncooked rice, Lens. You know, like,
oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
And and then he comes back out and he takes it and he puts a hair dryer on medium and he blows the hair dryer on it and all the brown just goes away and it's right back to a yellow fucking banana. It creeped me out. So, yeah.
I'm alive.
Thanks for that story.
Right, yeah.
Cool story, horrible bitch. All right. Work on comics. This is worst opening ever. I'm Derek.
Lens.
Hi, Derek. Hi, Lens.
And you are?
Good.
He doesn't Thank know.
You. I guarantee you, like, 50 people have already shut this episode off.
Well, for those people, I can then say, fuck you, because they're not listening any longer. For those other 50 that just now shut off when I said, fuck you.
And then that's everybody, right?
Yeah. Yep. All right. Let's get it started. Jesus, this train wreck is going nowhere. All right, off the shelf. I guess I'm going to kick it off because you guys are both giving me blank stares.
Yep.
Well, actually, Lindsay is giving me a blank stare. Tony won't make eye contact because he's afraid I'm going to call on him like the teacher in class. So, all right, I have Rasputin number 6 from Image Comics. Alex Grecian is the writer. Riley Rossmo is the artist and colors by Ivan Placencia. It's been a little bit of a break between issue 5 and issue 6. And issue, the last story arc originally started with Rasputin in his younger days. What the hell was that like?
I'm just going to fall asleep. It's not because of you. Keep going.
Wow. Rough crowd today. Don't like my Harry Cemetery thing, and you don't like any of my other jokes. That's nothing new, but it was originally showing him back, you know, in the late 1800s or 1900s in Russia, and then it kind of progressed a little bit, and you saw that he hasn't been aging really, and
he's a magician, right? Warlock, whatever.
Witch. Yeah. Yeah, something along those lines. He has powers. And the great thing is that I love that the actual title of this book on the inside page has always said Rasputin, based on true-ish events. And you know, for anybody that knows their Russian Revolution history, Grigory Rasputin, you know, who was kind of the, I don't know what the proper word, counselor to the Tsar and Tsarina of Russia, he really was the one that was behind the scenes pulling the strings. He had the Tsarina basically, you know, totally under his spell, of saying you need to do this, you need to do that. It's a very, very interesting thing on there. And he's been rumored to have been drowned and shot and stabbed and, you know, dismembered and all that, and he still, quote unquote, lived. And that's kind of what this is based on. Now, in this one, Grecian has Rasputin opening this book. It shocked me because it's a woman running for president in 2016. Or some, I'm assuming president, in here. I'm dumb. Yes, it is president. I killed far too many fucking brain cells last night. So, and Rasputin is there in the now, in the present. And it opens up with her getting shot in the head by a sniper. And he runs over and resurrects her. It's a really, this book is just amazing in the fact that you see how he's managed to still stay with people that are in power in this whole process. And it's kind of a fun little thing. Somebody actually, I'm not going to spoil it, but because of all the witnesses there, one of the other guys takes a bullet, one of the other bodyguards. And he runs over, resurrects her, and he's like, okay, great, you're going to live. Resurrects her, and he's like, oh, no, that's Ralph's blood on you. And it's kind of fun to see because it really brings it into today's times where you see all the bullshit that goes on behind the scenes with a lot of politicians where we're going to spin this how we want to have it spun. And so I really like that. Where it got creepy was there's a flashback scene where, you know, during the war, he gets shot by a sniper. Rasputin does, possibly a stray bullet. But, excuse me, he gets shot. And as he's gone through, he's kind of picked up these ghosts that follow him around. And the little boy that was with him, that's the ghost, actually resurrects Rasputin. When he resurrects Rasputin, he's now given his soul, which has been traveling with him, dies. His body actually appears, and his body is now dead, and his soul is gone. Rasputin basically used this little boy's soul to resurrect himself. So, really fucking weird, really cool, beautiful story.
Does this follow at all the real-life documentary of Rasputin called Anastasia?
No, not so much.
No ball talk or whatever.
No, they're not so much. But anyway, yes, he this may be a little bit difficult book to just pick up and run with. But I believe I saw the first volume trade has already come out. So go grab that, and even if not, this is worth picking it up. Riley Rossmo's art in this is just gorgeous, and I wish I knew the actual technical term, but you know when they use the little dots to kind of give it that old feel?
Like
that old
pointillism.
Yes. That pointillism.
Yeah. Ooh. Look at me. I know things.
You just made up that word.
Shut up.
You've been learning from Tony, making up words, using your imaginationalism. But yeah, he does a lot of that in this book, and it's just a really, really beautiful style. The colors are fantastic, and it's funny because the color scheme that shifts from the older scenes to nowadays is quite drastic. The current stuff in here is very vivid, very pop right in your face, whereas the older stuff has much more muted tone and a darker tone. But anyway, check out this book, and I guarantee you guys will be quite interested. There's one thing that I thought was interesting that I didn't catch until the second time through, is that you see the sniper in the tree that's shooting at this Harrison woman, and then later on, pretty sure it's the same guy that's with the paramedics, or he looks very fucking similar. So I don't know if that's, I mean, you guys tell me what you think. Guy in the tree, guy helping her.
They're pretty similar.
Yeah. So, coincidence, maybe. Intentional, maybe. I don't know. Pick up this book. Intentionally go pick up this book, and you'll be very coincidentally happy.
correct.
All right, Tony, what are you looking at there?
I'm looking at one of the best books that I've read in a while because it has so many things going right for it, and it just is. It's all coming together in a nice, neat package. It's almost something where you could just read it for the fun of it. There's some jokes in there, but the storyline is great. Now, going into Secret Wars and everything that's going on in there, we've mentioned a lot of books have taken part in the now. There's the Last Days section where some stories needed to kind of be resolved. So prior to Earth blowing up, these books are kind of continuing on in that realm. And this is Loki, Agent of Asgard, number 15, which is continuing on before the world collides. And this book is taking a turn from what it originally was into a pretty much fucking god battle. Like, when you have a picture of Odin with the machine gun fighting other gods, that's the tone that this book has, and it's very awesome. And so,
how does he fare with the machine gun?
He fares pretty well. I mean, you just see a lot of, like, you know, red shirts getting killed. But other than that, you know, some of the main characters are still alive. They even mention, though, in here of let's stop with the human symbolism. Like, they're talking about Freya, you know, the All Mother, is saying, you know, we don't. They're showing these machine guns as the art, you know, is being portrayed. But she even says, you know, we can stop with symbolism. Let's do some real damage with our power. And that in and of itself kind of gets into a part where she's asking him, you know, do you have your Odin powers? Has it awoken yet? And he goes, it takes time to rise, wife. So you often have said, like,
wow. Yeah.
And that sort of stuff.
That took me a minute to get, but this, I got it.
Are you just that much slower than normal today? Yes.
So the art alone in this is just great in the way that they've been portraying this battle. Lee Garbett just did an amazing job on this. But it's really from the story. Al Ewing wrote this, and it starts off following one of the secondary characters within the book of Loki, Variety Wells, and she her powers are to be able to see the truth. She can see any lies, and you get the backstory of how that happened.
I'm really curious about this power. I don't mean to interrupt. I'm just more curious about the power. How does she see it? I mean, is it internal, or is it something that she visually?
It's never really been.
Or don't they show it?
It's never been shown. But like when you have Loki, the god of lies, hanging out with this chick, and as has been mentioned, Loki's being a younger Loki, trying to redeem himself, trying to be different. And even with the whole crossover event with Avengers versus X-Men, whatever flip sides, like, and he became a good person. That was when he couldn't lie, so he was the god of truth, I guess, at the time, which most people thought he was still lying. She's a person that just can see through that. So it'd be like you and me talking. I know you're bullshitting me. I know that you're lying.
So it's the human embodiment of Lying Cat from Saga.
Yeah, pretty much so.
Okay.
And with that, you know, I've never really known her story, but I thought it was a cool dynamic to where she was one of the few people when Loki was trying to be good that was like, he's telling the truth. She's a human lie detector, and she knew that he was saying what he really meant and felt. She can even tell when people are lying because with this, you know, backstory here, it talks about a ring that got passed down, and it's a lucky ring. And it's something that will has a spell on it which will let people know lies. And seeing her grandfather giving it to her father and down the line, the story's going of, you don't always want to wear it because knowing lies, knowing who's telling the truth and not, is a terrible curse in of itself to see people really what they're doing. So it gets to, you know, like almost two pages in when it gets to her being a young girl and one of the her father saying, I dropped the ring. I can't believe it fell in my pocket, you know, hole in my pocket, whatever. Where did that ring go? And she's in a crib and, oh, she reaches out, grabs the ring and eats it. Well, for some reason, the doctors said it's the curious thing. There was something in there, but it dissolved. And her parents are like, how the fuck does a gold ring dissolve? Just going with the plot and the story of this, that's how she got her powers. She got it through this ring that then became an embodiment in her. All in all, I thought that was a cool little... It was only a couple of pages to explain that, but you kind of get a sense more of where she got her powers from. She's not a god. She's not a mutant. She's not anything. But even in this book more or less had two different facets going for it. The giant battle that's going on right now at the end of time and her backstory. When you see...
You keep flipping. I love that page. Just with the giant machine gun double page spread. That is gorgeous.
Well, when you get to seeing later on in this book of her story growing up and just talking to people, she's listening to, like, you know, the radio and the lyrics. You know, I met this girl on Monday, took her out for a drink on Tuesday, and she goes, this didn't happen. You know, seeing, like, you know, here comes a plane, like, you know, feeding a baby. That's not a plane. Like, you start seeing in her mind internally her thoughts of what these lies are, and it kind of goes into when her parents are, you know, getting divorced. Listen, it's not your fault, okay? And her just a little sidebar saying he thinks it's true. So kind of blaming herself where she feels that. But you kind of get a sense of what that all is. The coolest part was watching TV, and she sees Iron Man going up there on the TV saying, you know, anyone that has special powers, it's your responsibility to register. So this is a nod to Civil War, and she's just like saying, oh, shit, as if that's true, what does she end up doing? She ends up actually registering. So you kind of get a different brief prospect of her life where she registers. She now has a valid ID card that says what her powers are, and they're even explaining you don't really have anything that's something for the government to worry. You do have a power, which is cool. They tested her, whatever. You know, maybe some team might want you on them. Who knows? And then she's trying to find how she could use her powers for good, or at least for a job. Going to an attorney's office and them saying, we could really use you on this. But she keeps asking, can I work from home? Because she doesn't want to really go to an office. She just wants to stay there. So, no, she turns it down. This guy's like, you could totally look at every resume and know what's a lie and select the best things. Nope, she doesn't want to do it. You know, talking to some person with database, like trying to pick out the bad things. And finally someone says, you know, yeah, I don't see why you can't work at home. So she picks a job. Although that was just one page, it was kind of cool to see, fuck, I would use my powers for my own personal gains as well. And that's a use that I never thought of would have been easy. Like, I could be the best fucking Matt Murdock attorney ever, just knowing who's telling the truth and who's not, and have my little card saying, well, that's my power, I know it, would be great to be able to use.
I would rather be a judge.
Okay, well, yeah, judge.
I'm just saying, me personal. Yeah. Like, you know, I'd be like, all right, did you do it? Oh, guilty.
Why isn't the government interested in, like, they're not interested in this? They're not worried about her powers? Really?
What's that going to really do? I mean, when you have a person that has optic blast or, like...
No, they want her as far away from the government as possible because fucking politics tells the truth ever.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that would be a big fuck. So her story doesn't really get resolved in the end, but it was cool to see that going on. This didn't have so much with the Loki as we know now, but the Loki that we know now has turned from the god of lies to the god of stories, and that is his new portfolio, his new realm of what he is a god of. And with that, it kind of gets tied up in the end a little bit of saying, you know, about variety's stories. Now, let's go back to the fucking god battle because
I have a question about Variety first, because I'm really interested in this character. Let me back up. Do you know if this is her first appearance or has she been in stuff before?
She's been in stuff before. Well, okay. She's been in Loki before, but even within the first couple pages, and they're talking about. Something that, you know, there's bad people after you, blah, blah, daddy, whatever. It says C. Thor, Volume 1, Number 345. So people in her family, because going back to her grandpa. All
right. I was mostly just curious about that, because then that leads to the next question, if you know or not. I'd be curious. I'm really fucking curious about this power. I can't. So I'd be curious to know if, like, when she's watching a recorded television program.
Oh, and she...
Could she tell? Oh,
pretty much kind of in it, it was showing. She just can see.
So it doesn't matter if it's... she has to be right there, or she can watch something that was taped, you know.
Well, she was listening to the random song on the radio and know that it wasn't true. Like, you know, person's bullshitting its lyrics. Now, whether that comes on as, like, a spider sense, like everything's flaring at once, or it's just like she's listened to it and she's just like, I know that that's not true. That didn't really happen, you know. Hit me, baby, one more time. You know, that's it's just bullshit, made up stuff. Like,
yeah, because he hit her way more than one more time, you know.
So who knows how
inner region.
They haven't really talked to, like I said, this is the first time really talking about her powers that made it so interesting for this particular book. You just always knew she had it, and you just always knew that she's calling Loki on his bullshit. So that being said and done, the battle now was fucking incredible, because they know that the world is ending. They see all these universes colliding, and their thought, at least for Hela and Tyr, who Tyr is working for Hela as her general. It's been a long time ago when he died within the Norse gods, you know, type thing. They are battling with Loki on their side, because Loki let out the giant serpent at the end of Ragnarok, because they feel if they destroy Midgard first and foremost, which is Earth in the realm, they will be saved as gods in their nine realms, because that's kind of a separate part of the universe when it all said and done. But they also have to kill Asgard, because they said there's too much Earth shit there that it could corrupt it and be destroyed as well. So there's a little bit of a reason why they are battling the other gods. Kind of, they always kind of scheme and whatever, but you see that going on. Plus, you have there's a secondary Loki. There's King Loki from the future that is here trying to set the things in the past, which would be presents, to allow him to be king of all everything. So when you have this evil Loki here trying to make things happen, you get a sense of there's a giant battle. You already saw the giant fucking machine guns and everything, and that's just cool. But another part of it, which I just thought was just great writing, and how this whole story, as I said, Al did a fucking amazing job, was you see these gods on Asgard's side, and a lot of them no-name people. They're not the big, you know, couple that you read in Thor books, but one in particular who ends up dying. And because the serpent's venom is deadly even to gods. And he dies. Oh, but Hela is in charge of Hell. She's in charge of the afterworld of Asgardians. So what happens? Oh, he just pops up on their side because he's now dead. They have an army of dead people that keeps continuously be replenished, unless you don't go to Valhalla and you die, you know, honorably in battle. I can't speak.
Heroically? Is that what you were trying to say? Yes, I was going to try to
say. What word did you say?
Honorably.
Okay, it's a real word. Word.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
a
real, yeah, real yeah.
word, at least. But I was trying to say heroically.
Heroically?
Whatever.
I like
it's
that.
A tutorial.
So just even in the two pages, I'm just showing that, like, this person saying, what am I doing here? And, like, now you're battling for us. You came from the other side, but now that you're dead, you're with us now, and let's go kick Asgard's butt. It really is giving a sense of dread. It's really giving a sense of the outnumbering of people. It's fucking one of the best books I've read in a long, long time. And any of you guys could just pick it up. You may not know the sense of everything that's going on, but you could just read it and be like, that was a fucking cool story. Like, I liked it, and I want to see how it actually ends. How does this battle end? What's going on, you know, with younger Loki, good Loki in his story? So it's one of those things. Definitely pick it up.
Sounds like a way better story than the one I tried to tell earlier.
Yes.
Yeah. Lynn's, what you got?
Oh, this week I picked up Age of Ultron versus Marvel Zombies.
And you got the Scotty Young.
I did. It's adorable.
Scotty Young variant cover. I should finish my thought.
Sorry, I interrupted you.
No, that's fine. So
even zombies look cute when he draws them. It's my like one girly thing that I like.
I'm really looking forward to his new series. The I Hate Fairyland or Fuck Fairyland or
what?
Whatever.
I have not heard of this.
Oh, yeah.
We talked about it on the show. I thought you listened.
I do. Did I miss it? When was this?
A couple months back.
Was I drunk? You wouldn't know.
Knowing you, probably yes, you were drunk.
Yeah.
That's fair.
All right, anyway, we'll talk more about that some other time.
All right. So this is... I lost my train of thought. Completely.
It's a comic book. Now.
It's a comic book. There's Age of Ultron versus Marvel Zombies. So it starts with Tigra running around the jungle, I guess.
this is the best review
this
ever.
This is going to be an awesome review, you guys. Just hold on.
Wait, regular Tigra or zombie Tigra?
Regular Tigra.
Okay.
She's being chased by a horde of zombies. The thing I love about Marvel Zombies is they're still sentient. They say the funniest shit. They talk. They don't just make noises. I think that's the best part of it. But anyway, the reason why this starts this way is it's kind of setting up, like, when you do something in Battle World to upset your barons or something like that, they throw you on the other side of the shield, which is big wall, and you fend for yourself. And on the other side of the shield, there is Perfection from Age of Ultron, Deadlands, which is Marvel Zombies, and then an area with the Nihilus and his swarms. And you just kind of go where you think you can survive. So
the shield, is it abbreviated? Or like, is it an acronym?
No.
No?
It's just a word. Okay. Yeah, no little...
No periods nope. after the
no periods.
The letters? It's different shield.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not the shield, but it's the
what?
Is that scary no periods?
Anyway. Uh-huh. So the zombies are chasing her. She's actually having fun, kicking their ass. She's doing a pretty good job. But then a bunch of Ultrons show up. And the zombies are afraid of the Ultrons, rightfully so. I would be too.
They're not real.
I would be. I didn't say I am. So they start fighting. Cover page. Yay. Yeah. Oh, okay. Since I'm on the cover page. Right. It was written by James Robinson. The artist was Stephen Pugh.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
Pugh.
Jim... Oh, I'm going to try this. Charlampidis.
Oh, Charlampidis?
There you go. Something like that.
Yeah.
Did the colors. There's actually some flashback artists in here, which I thought was really cool. Ron Garney and Matt Milla.
Ooh, okay.
Because it was not... I did not read Age of Ultron when it came out. So I kind of just went into this not knowing anything about Age of Ultron. Just brief from what I've heard. So they explain what happened in Age of Ultron, and they used the flashback artists to do the art in this. So it set it apart from the rest of the story. You knew you were reading something that happened in the past.
That's really cool.
Yeah, and it's different styles, too. So, like, the first couple pages are, like, really old-school looking, and then the battle with the Avengers is kind of a newer art style. But, okay, so you get through the back history of Age of Ultron and into the present. And Hank Pym shows up. And this is Hank Pym from Timely, which I'm assuming is just another area of Battle World. Takes place in, I don't know, like the early 1900s.
Okay.
Probably.
I'm having a brain fart, but wasn't Timely Comics what became Marvel?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yes, it was, yeah.
All right. Okay. That's cool. All right. Nice little shout out there. He got sent to go over the wall because he was working on his clockwork machine and he got caught, which is Ultron.
Oops.
No, someone's there.
And one of the shield guards is Janet. So she tells him that he can choose where he wants to go, whether he goes to the Deadlands or Perfection. And he's super interested in Perfection because, you know, where he comes from, everything's ran on steam or something.
It's still kind of shitty, though. It's like, choose your death. Like, yeah. A bunch of robots killing you, yeah. Or zombies.
Or a swarm of bugs.
Or, yeah, or that's, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Bugs. Gross.
I know. I would not choose that one.
It's not real.
Yes, it is, Tony. Stop crushing my dreams.
I like how she blames you when I said it. That's the best part. It's Tony's fault.
I
met
Derek, but I always blame Tony for everything.
Yeah.
So.
Just keep thinking of me.
Okay.
No. All right, let's continue. God, so, this is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I can make it more uncomfortable.
Don't take your pants off.
I was thinking the exact same thing.
Is that what you said last night?
Yeah, it was.
Actually, that probably was said last night.
Probably was.
Probably was. Yep. And probably by more than one person.
Where was I now?
Swarms.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yes. So he goes to Perfection. They drop him off. A big sentinel drops him off in the middle of Perfection.
Pretty clean-looking region, right?
It's a wasteland until you get right into... Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
It just, you'd think it was perfect.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Not a lot of trees or bushes.
No. I have no idea what's going on right now.
Don't. Just keep, please, for the love of God, can we just keep this going?
I'm going to sum this up real quick so we can move on. He runs into a couple zombies who have made their way into the area that they weren't supposed to be. He is about to get killed by the zombies, and the Vision, the Human Torch, the original, and Wonder Man show up and save him and tell him that they've been waiting for him and that he's going to help them change the world. So I don't know where it's going to go after that. I thought at first that, because, you know, in Perfection, if you're a human, they're going to kill you because you're not perfect. So my first theory was that the reason why these people were still in there is because they were all robots. But, of course, Wonder Man's not a robot. But so anyway, I don't know how this is going to play in or when it's actually going to get into Age of Ultron versus the zombies. But I'll keep reading it.
Cool. All right.
Now that's over. Thank God.
All right, Tony, would you like to talk about some news or some shrubberies?
Cut it down with a mackerel.
A shrubbery. All right, news, guys. Probably one of the biggest things as far as movie news that came out this week is that Tom Holland, who is a 19-year-old actor, was named as the next Peter Parker Spider-Man. So, 19 is really young.
Yeah, they're going to go really young with the new Spider-Man, which is...
Well, they're hoping then they don't have to replace him after 15 reboots. Like, they can keep the same actor at least for 10 years.
Maybe. Well, and who knows? But he looks younger than 19. I mean, he looks like he's like 15, 16. So, that could really work in their favor.
Well, that kind of tells you, though, always knowing kind of they were going to do the high school years, but, like, I don't see them posing him as an adult. Like, he is, yeah, fucking baby face.
Yeah. One of the, speaking of Marvel movie news, something that I saw that I just want to say no right now is that, and Marvel doesn't give a fuck what I think when it comes to this, but Marvel apparently wants Beyonce to be in one of their new superhero movies. And I'm like, why?
Who is she going to be? Who possibly?
I'm going to create a new character, Destiny. And she's the child of it.
Jesus Christ.
She's going to have a ring that she puts on.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
She fights for women everywhere. All those single ladies.
Yeah.
There's going to be a comic book that comes out with this story, and it... They're going to steal it from you guys. You should copyright that shit.
Well, yeah, that'd be... I don't know. If I got it, I'd probably just put it, you know, I'd bag it, board it, and put it in a box to the left, you know, and see. I guess my problem is, why would you take somebody that, A, I don't think they need Beyonce to boost ticket sales, because, and B, has she ever acted in anything ever?
Yes, she has.
Music videos.
Well, she was in a movie called Obsessed. I didn't watch it, so I don't know if it was good.
Well, but clearly critically acclaimed. And
all right.
That's just my inside movie knowledge.
Who knows what this will be, but...
Wow. Wow. That is so... That's impressive, but that's fucked up.
Have you guys seen the trailer for the new Heroes TV show?
No.
So it's just a... It's more or less kind of... It has none of the character or anything. It's kind of like one of those things of like... Where will you be when the heroes, or where were the heroes been? It kind of has the clips happening in the background at multiple different like famous things, like showed like, you know, New York with it in the background, or like a field with like more or less just showing the eclipse. So there's not a lot of news of who's all coming back. I mean, you can find some names that are returning. Some people are still in the talks, but it's going to hit on Thursday, September 24th. So that's when Heroes Reborn will be coming out, and that is, I'm more excited for that than any Marvel movie or anything. That was a great show that turned to shit that I feel and I pray that has the potential to be a great show again.
Well, the writer's strike fucked that show up hard.
True.
Well, the fact that they just ripped off every X-Men book ever.
Yeah, yeah.
But then they fucked it up with the whole... Oh, the inner light inside. It was pretty much because they, was it Siler?
Yeah.
Like, they made him way too powerful. Like,
yeah.
Because once he started getting all the powers, it's kind of like, now he's unstoppable. And they did the comic book thing where it's a bigger and bigger and bigger event. Like, no, just play it out a little bit. But,
yeah. More entertainment news. Sequel to Lucy, the movie, is in development. Did you guys see Lucy?
Yes.
What'd you think?
I'm home. Like
no, loose. No, the Scarlett Johansson.
Oh yeah, I saw that. It was interesting.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. I wanted to, so I think that's just kind of cool.
But there's a sequel, you're saying?
There's a sequel coming.
Oh, it's kind of interesting because spoiler alert: she's dead at the end.
Hey, thanks, asshole. I just said I haven't seen it.
Well, is she technically dead? Or did she pull an Xavier and transfer herself?
Is she comic book dead?
Right.
She didn't become all powerful. So yeah. Like,
she went a little powder.
They're going to have to nerf her and be like, oh, now you're a human again. And then you can get your powers back. And Yeah.
There's a new series from Image Comics with Ailes Cott reuniting with Matt Taylor, which the two of them worked on Zero together. And it's a fantasy crime noir series called Wolf, and that's coming out here next month from Image. The little description that I found online said that Wolf incorporates the crime noir thrills and character development of True Detective with the mythical stakes of Neil Gaiman's Sandman in this original fantasy horror saga. So Antoine Wolf is a hard-boiled paranormal detective with a death wish and has to cope with sudden responsibility for an orphan teenage girl who might be the key to the impending apocalypse, California style. And I don't know, the California style is like, what's California style? Like, it's apocalypse with avocado? Is that how that works? I'm not sure. But anyway, it sounds kind of interesting, and that's a pretty good creative team, so see what happens there.
I found it interesting. Ben Affleck is going to direct Batman, or as they're going to call the new movie, The Batman, which came out in 2018. So
no, I'm not surprised with that at all.
As him being Batman and now wanting to direct, which I'm not going to lie, he fucking he's a great director.
I think he's a better director than an actor.
But
honestly,
I don't feel that a superhero movie should have, and that's just me not being, you know, in that part of the industry, but like, it just seems a little bit takes away from the character. Like, you should just let the character be who you are as a character, and less the directing. But I thought that was interesting, as well as they're gonna forget the whole Green Lantern movie and focus on a reboot of sorts, but gonna focus on both Hal Jordan and John Stewart.
Oh, I saw that.
And so, you know, common people, Chris Pine is gonna be Hal Jordan, and couple different people are talking about who's going to be Jon Stewart, but it's kind of cool. It's going to focus more on the corpse instead of just the regular Green Lantern. So
the corpse,
the dead ones.
Yeah, CORPS, corpse.
E. all right. So interesting stuff about the all new, all different Marvel Universe is
I have some shit on that too.
Okay. There was an interview that that Jason Latour did with IGN, which has led people to believe that there may not be as much all new and all different as what was, you know, everybody's thinking that it was going to be. Because he's talking about the Spider-Gwen series that's going to be coming out. And in the interview, what he said was, "The main focus of our first arc is on Gwen Stacy's continued adventures within her own universe, which is Earth 65. It's pretty essential to who this Gwen Stacy is to have her own supporting cast and villains and problems. But Spider-Gwen was born out of a multiversal crossover event, so the opportunity to hop around has always been present and honestly is just too fun to resist." Here's the big line. So yeah, bouncing over to the 616 now and then is something we're eager to explore too.
Yeah, seeing that makes me happy that it still continues the numbering of worlds. Whether they got rid of some that don't make sense, okay. But this is pretty much saying then the Marvel multi-universe is still intact. Some of these books will be in their own thing, because a lot of people are thinking everything was coming over into of itself. Now, saying that, Ultimate Universe is dead. They're not resurrecting the Ultimate books. They're not doing anything. Miles Morales is going to be 616 Universe. In fact, they've talked about the new Avengers line comic book, which this was also kind of shocking to learn. It's going to have Tony Stark's going to, you know, run it, but it's going to have Captain America, Sam Wilson, Captain America, and Thor, Jane Foster, Thor, as well as Miles Morales, and Nova, and Miss Marvel. So, and Vision, that they're still keeping those character designs, which honestly I thought was going to be a 3 month to 6 month little thing there, and that it wasn't, leads me to believe that that's actually something that they're continuing for quite a while, which is great. I hate when they do the old switcheroo, like, oh, this is the new, you know, Thor, and then we'll tease you for a couple months, and then you'll find out, and then whatever. So it also sucks because it's kind of ruining what the end of Secret Wars is going to be, which is pretty much nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's going to pretty much be the end of Ultimate Universe. That's it. That happens.
Yeah.
There's some other cool stuff that I wanted to bring up. For people that use their public libraries, a lot of public libraries have graphic novels at them.
It's the best thing ever.
In fact, our public library here, one of the new things is there's billboards up that actually have a manga character.
Oh, really?
On it.
That's
for
awesome.
The public library. And it says something along the lines of, you know, be a hero. Something along those. And I was like, that's really fucking cool. But there's an app called Hoopla, which is a public library app. And so if you have a card, you can use the app, I guess, to download books like you would from your library. And DC is adding about 25 titles of their bigger titles to this. So now you're going to be able to go and read like Dark Knight Returns and Watchmen and, you know, Final Crisis and stuff like that through the app if your public library has
nice.
Part of this.
So any public library that just signs up for this, right? Not just, this isn't a local thing, right?
Yeah, this was not a local article
right.
that I found.
Okay.
So if your public library uses this app, you're now going to have access to
That's
some DC stuff.
Awesome. Because they're like where I grew up, there were no comic book stores. Yeah, I had to read my dad's stuff. So it gives kids the opportunity to get into that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So how'd you like Playboys?
You know, they were a little boring.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of DC, Green Lantern, the Lost Army, new story direction for them. And just kind of want to mention it because it seems like the development team for Green Lantern just really doesn't give a shit what's happened on Earth. And it's great. It's one of those books where you have a giant set of characters and creatures that you can use. They interact with Earth sometimes, but really, Superman, fuck him. You know, Batman, whatever. We're doing our own thing. However, coming from this new story arc, once again, is the new, you know, the new threat. The Lost Army feels like it's the Third Reich again, where that whole army came about. And I mean, that's what the fuck was it really called?
Rise of the First Army, was that it?
No, I thought it was Third something or other. Who knows?
No, yeah. Kevin just kept calling it the Third Reich, but when he was really wasted.
Like I said, though, this fun. Lost Army feels like the same thing. However, Guy Gardner's back as a Lantern, and he's got two rings, which I guess never really thinking of it. Like, okay, one ring is cool, but I guess two makes you twice as cool. I mean, I don't know how that would work with
Didn't
your willpower.
Hal Jordan have the yellow and the green at one point? Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah. I don't know. My problem is if they have two rings, you're going to hear twice as much, hey, Derek, take my picture.
So. Well, they need to get all five and summon Captain Planet, but...
one last news thing for me, and again, it's for downloading comics. Mark Millar is celebrating the same-sex marriage ruling with a free download of Jupiter Circle number one. And so I thought that was kind of cool that's out there because Jupiter Circle is about a gay superhero that back in the late 50s was, you know, keeping his sexuality secret. So it's kind of interesting that's happened to be that thing. And so it's nice that it's all tied in. And there's a special rainbow cover.
Of course.
For this. So you guys can go check that out. And if you haven't read it, you know, it's a pretty cool story. So I'd say, hey, it's free.
Right. I read Jupiter's Legacy, and I totally missed Circle. I don't know how I missed it.
Well, you just have to come back around, and then it's a circle.
Oh.
Yeah.
My bad. I've been walking in straight lines my whole life.
Don't know how big Red Robin is around, you know, America. I mean, obviously it's not McDonald's big, but...
Is that the Red Robin?
Yum. That was great.
But they are doing a creative... menu with the new Terminator Genesis movie coming out with a lot of different Terminator theme type burgers and everything. However,
is one of them like a whole bunch of old meat wrapped around like some metal?
Yes, because that joke made sense.
Well, that's what the Terminator is. It's old meat wrapped around.
You took what the Terminator is, thought it would be funny to say what it is as a burger. And
does the burger say "I'll be back"? Is that better?
You know what would be awesome is if they made all their servers say that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be great.
But the reason why I would mention this, if you purchase a $25 $25 Red Robin card, you can get a free movie ticket to Terminator Genesis. So it's kind of like getting a $10 free movie ticket for a gift card. So I guess if you like Red Robin, go get it.
Yeah.
Yum.
Yeah, come with me if you want to live.
Get to the chopper.
All right. That's everything I had on news. Did you guys have anything else?
I had like zero news this week.
Did you say something about a new Hulk?
Oh, it's just a rumor.
Rumors.
There we go. Yep. So the new Hulk that's coming out after this whole Secret Wars thing is over is called Totally Awesome Hulk. That's the name of the comic.
That's outrageous.
but it's not going to be Bruce Banner Hulk. It's going to be somebody else. And the rumor is that Amadeus Cho is going to be the new Hulk. And I don't really know who Amadeus Cho is, so I'm not going to talk too much about it. You guys might know more.
And that's what makes me happy.
I know he was a Hulk sidekick, mm-hmm. but that's about all I know about him.
Well, someone that's jumping ship from the X-Men... is Beast, and he's going to the Inhumans. So whether they are rebooting him to say, oh, you really don't have an X gene, but somehow in your mastermind you really were an Inhuman, or if he's just going to say, I like them more, or who the fuck knows, but it was blowing up every single news site that I saw, which I thought was the... who the fuck gives a shit? Like,
he's a team hopper.
Yeah, he's been an Avenger, he's been an X-Men, he's been an Illuminati, he's been this and that. That wasn't really...
Has he been in the Fantastic Four?
Fuck, probably. I mean, everyone's been at one point or the other.
Which cracks me up that they're limited to four members, technically. But yeah, just about everybody's been in it.
Well, I like, though, too, that the Wizard always is the Frightful Four. Like, he has to have four, then, of his bad guys to fight against. Like, fuck, dude, get as many as you can. Right? And, like, fucking four ain't enough. Last thing is, it's kind of cool for at least people that are liking to see their heroes on the live screen action. Secret Warriors and people from that line is coming to S.H.I.E.L.D. In the new season. So... S.H.I.E.L.D. has gotten a lot better this last season, and that they are including more heroes and powered people is going to be interesting. Other than that, that's all that I can find or stomach this week, so...
All right. Little Indie Turnpike.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I've got... Indie Turnpike this week is Touching Evil, number one, and it's... What was?
I just thought that was, where did you touch the evil, Derek?
Show me on the doll. Is that what you're getting at?
Yep.
Yeah, you're sick. So,
which region?
Yeah, but anyway, Touching Evil. This is from Beardo Comics, and this is written and illustrated by Dan Doherty. And so stories, pencils, and letters, inks. Were by Dan as well as Wesley Wong, and colors are Wesley Wong as well. This is a really thick book, which I was not expecting. The first book is 32 pages.
Oh wow, that's great paper it's on too.
Oh, I know it for you know, basically a self-published book. It's super high quality. This book first came out in 2013. There are now 6 issues of this out, and one of the reasons that I wanted to mention it is, A, because it has come out with 6 issues, so there's a good run already there established. I've only read the first one so far, but this is an ongoing. It's going to keep coming out. Just so people know, you can go to beardocomics.com, and you can find it there. But you can also get it on Comixology as well, or you can, you know, order it. Or if you see Dan at a convention, because he's all over, you can pick him up there. The basic premise behind this book, which is about is all I'm going to get into on it, because I don't want to get too much into the story, but I'll give you this premise, is that Ada Mansfield is, she's a criminal lawyer, she's a single mom, and she has just inherited an ancient curse, which... She can.
That sounds great.
Like, yeah,
a woman's curse.
Well, she kills anyone who she touches if they're evil.
Mm.
The problem is, kind of like you can tell who's lying. Mm-hmm. That'd be a great team up, but because she doesn't know who's evil until she touches them.
But then they just like they just die. Disintegrate or. Because
gotta read the book.
Because that, I mean, I don't. Okay, that would be like shitty if you found out then like your husband or wife or whoever you know you're with was evil. But at the same point, you're like, fuck you, evil bastard! Like, glad that I killed you. Like, for me, it kind of seems like a win-win. Now it'd suck when I touched you and knowing that you're gonna die. But I mean, I just know you enough to know that. You probably wouldn't survive the touch.
All I gotta say is, like, if she had gotten this as a kid, it would have made Tag a hell of a lot more interesting. But this book actually won a Sheldorf Award for self-published comic of the year. And it is, beyond the fact that you're getting a lot for your money in this, it's really, really well written.
It sounds interesting.
It's really cool. It's one of these where... Doherty has done a great job where every voice is just really present. And unlike something that we're going to get to later when we're talking about voices in comics, this one, for something that you have no idea who these characters are, you can hear, like, your mind literally creates their their dialect, their tone, their pacing. Beautifully, beautifully written book. The artwork in this, I think, works really well. It's a lot of, like, multi-panel pages, too. And so that's one of the things. It's not a quick read, which is great. I mean, I think probably the fewest number of panels on any given page is roughly going to be maybe 5. So you get a lot in there. But, yeah, go check it out. Go to BeardoComics.com or go to Comixology and download it. And you will definitely enjoy this book. I'm excited to read the next 5. And issue 7 is coming out here. I believe Dan said that issue 7 is going to be coming out at Wizard World Chicago, I think.
So August.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So check that out.
All right.
Cool.
Well, I'm very looking forward to your booze in the book, because this book, from what you were saying, and I'm kind of disappointed that I didn't pick it up.
You should be.
Is everything that you've ever wanted in
yes.
your life.
Booze in a Book, brought to you by the awesome guys over at Ink Whiskey. Which, by the way, just a quick little note. There's about 12 or 13 days left to go. And the guys are about 2/3 of the way on their Kickstarter. They're a little over 10 grand. They need 15,000. Go to Kickstarter. Check out the Bartendo line of products from inkwhiskey.com. Please, guys, go support them because I want this stuff.
Me too.
And I know Tony does too. But I mean, they've got stuff for as little as I think $10, and for as much, I think the highest is $65. So. Or no.
They say they have the 250.
Yeah, they've got a 250 one.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, go check it out and find what you like and give them money. So, because we love these guys. But anyway, Booze in a Book this week is X-Men 92, number one. And I also got the Scotty Young variant edition because he nailed it with this. This is written by Chris Sims and Chad Bowers. Artist was Scott Koblish. Colorist was Matt Mila. And this is this picks up right after the comic or the animated series of X-Men stopped. And this is a Secret Wars tie-in, Tony. So, okay. You know, all I'm really going to say about this is you start reading it, and Linz and I were talking about this before we started the show. You hear the voices exactly.
You do, 100%.
And it brought me right back. And, you know, I watched this show a lot in college, you know, because I'm old, fuck off.
I fucking watch that show all the time still.
Yeah. And I'm reading this, and I'm hearing these voices, and then it put me right back to being in college. And all of a sudden, I got the taste in my mouth of Dundee's original Honey Brown Lager, which was the fanciest beer I could afford in college. And it's made by Genesee Brewing Company and the Dundee Brewing Company. And it's an American Amber Red Lager. It's 4.5% alcohol by volume. It's just a good beer. It's a little on the sweet side, obviously, with the Honey Brown name to it. It's smooth, and it just brought me right back, and that's the main reason I paired it because that's a personal pairing. You know, so I would sit on the couch, drink Honey Brown, get fucked up, and watch cartoons. So thanks, Mom and Dad, for college.
Yeah, I just want to say that if you haven't read this book, Tony, you have to read it. It's amazing. There's so much action on each page that you feel like it's, you know, animated. It just ties it in so well. And then in the beginning, they give you like a rundown of all the characters, just in case you don't know who they are.
Yeah. Well, and
boxes,
it's,
yeah.
It's colored just like the animated yeah. series was, too. So, I mean, it's dead on. There's actually one page in here where they're showing, you know, the fight that was in the opening where you see the X-Men and the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants yep. on the other side. Like, it's just, it's so much fun. But the voices, like, we were talking, like, there's Scott and Logan are fighting, and he's like, "You get back here, mister," and he's like, "I go where I want to go," kind of thing. And Jean Grey is just going, "Scott, you have to let him go." Storm cries a lot. Well, you know.
Jubilee's cannon fodder.
Yeah. You know. Gambit, you know, it's just all like, maybe the winner gets a kiss, eh, shit? It's great, and that's why, like, I mean, if you guys want to, you know, relive my young adulthood, go get a Honey Brown and slug it down while you're reading some X-Men 92. All right.
Awesome. So, we're almost done. Yay, we made it.
I can't believe I'm alive today. So, and you know it's a good night when you're hanging out with comic book creators and stuff like that for a little local expo that was here in town. And you wake up the next day and you're like, "Oh yeah, I gave that guy money to draw me something." So I have to go get that taken care of today. Last call, guys.
Oh geez.
I actually, honestly, everything else this week, it's still on the back burner because I was actually catching up. So I read a lot of old stuff to get to where I need to be. So I don't have any shout outs for this week.
Okay, I just have three. One is totally outrageous, Gem. That book is just fantastic. Captara number 3 and The Walking Dead number 143. That's everything else that I had. It wasn't a big week for me on books, so
yeah. I also got Gem. I mean, this book brings me right back to my childhood.
What were you drinking when you were watching that?
Probably Kool-Aid.
Juice boxes.
Yep.
Mondo Punch.
Those little barrels that are just sugar water, you know. But then I also got Deep State issue 7.
I stopped reading that. How is it?
It's gotten really good, actually. It is, every time I read it, it X-Files for sure. So, and then Fight Club 2, number 2.
And I fucking hate that I didn't see that. I don't.
It was so good. I was going to review it, but you reviewed number 1, and I didn't really just want to go into the second one, too.
Yeah.
But.
All right, well, I got to go put that on my poll.
Yes, you should. It was amazing.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a new store, and I keep forgetting, like, what books are and are not on my poll. And
yeah.
Right.
So. All right, guys. I think that's going to do it.
I go sleep now. Just right here. Tony, I'm sleeping here.
All right. Nope.
Just leave that one alone.
Yeah. All right, guys. Keep reading your comics. We'll be back next week. Talk to you more about them then. We'll see ya.